Hello once again, my fabulous radio friends, and welcome to yet another tantalizing episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ 50s Pornography 2000, and we've assembled a very special show for you tonight. As you know, this week in Pittsburgh is the International Sex Talk Conference, and as you know, there are versions of this radio show all over the globe, and we get together once a year and discuss sex talk strategies with other co-hosts. And so I've assembled here in the studio tonight a collection of hosts from around the world. We have Peter, who's
hey there.
You're from Tunisia, is that?
Nice try.
I'm not sure I remember.
Nice try. Actually, I'm from Brooklyn originally.
Brooklyn, yes.
Easily confused.
And of course, we have Luke, which you remember as a longtime sexualist, and our very special guest, Brad. Brad, say hello.
Hello.
And we have another co-host who's not ready. He's not his microphone yet. We'll call him the Enigma. And so, welcome to you all, and thank you for joining us. The first thing I'd like to do is mention to our listeners our fabulous Sex Talk Hotline, 621-WRCT. Get your pencils out and write that down. If there's any time you need to share your comments with any of us, please feel free to do so. Tonight is also a very special night because I'm very emotionally vulnerable due to some kind of government-engineered virus that's going around. And so, if you discover an opportunity to make me cry on the air, please attempt to do so. And the winning caller who actually makes me break down on the air will win a very special prize from the Sex Talk.
Are other co-hosts eligible to compete in this contest?
Yes, you'll get a different kind of prize, but yes, you're all eligible to try to trigger my nervous breakdown. And believe me, my threshold's very low.
I want to win your can of whoop ass.
Actually, I don't know what that means. So is that some kind of sexual thing?
Not that I know of. If you can educate me, you know, that'd be wonderful.
So tonight we have a very complicated and very sophisticated topic planned, which defies any kind of normal explanation, I think. We're going to be talking about our own experiences. There's always the emotional, the attempt at emotional intimidation. And, of course, you know, if all else fails, we're going to talk about 50s pornography. And so,
but that's really only if all else fails.
So let's get started. Please.
Actually, I want to let's start with this 50s pornography. Actually, you have this book.
All right, I have this book. I picked it up. I actually bought it with real money, which I kind of have a hard time believing. Let me just pick it up. It is called Tijuana Bibles, Art and Wit in America's Forbidden Funnies, 1930s through 1950s. And I forget exactly how this came about. I was web surfing. Of course, I'm sure I was looking for something work-related and totally appropriate to my job. But I managed to stumble across a vintage, quote-unquote, pornography website with, like, all sorts of... Of course, this is like you do a search for anything nowadays and you get all sorts of pornography.
Yes.
But this is, like, pictures from the 1920s and 30s. And I was kind of fascinated because, you know, I didn't even know they had pornography before... back in the days before color film was invented. And this site had a link to these Tijuana Bibles, which were apparently these 8-page booklets, kind of cheaply produced, mass marketed by, I guess, the mob back in the 30s. When they're basically cartoons.
See, this is puzzling me. Why are they called Tijuana Bibles? What's the Tijuana?
I think they were just, that was just a code word that grew up so you could talk about them.
Oh.
Say, hey, do you want to buy some Tijuana Bibles? And no one really knew what you were talking about.
but that's a strange code
I
word, right?
I think that also that Tijuana had associations of the sin and depravity.
Well, right. That's why it's a very bad code word. If someone wanted to sell me a Tijuana anything, I'd be immediately suspicious, right? Why can't it be like a, you know, Cleveland Bible or something, right?
I don't think that Cleveland has quite the same connotation.
Well,
it does to me, but then there was that weekend.
Anyway, that's the point. I mean, when you want to defer suspicion away from yourself, you don't usually mention Tijuana, right? I mean,
right. Well, one of the things is that like a lot of things that in American culture, since these weren't put out by, you know, products of Harvard and Yale, they kind of were dismissed. And why would anyone want to save these? And consequently, even though probably thousands and thousands were produced in their heyday, they're actually fairly rare now. And the people who are preserving these in particular are kind of these comic book historians and cartoonists, I hate to use that word, like Art Spiegelman, who's well known for his work on Mouse, a kind of documentary about the Holocaust, which was done in comic book form. But anyway, so I just read his introductory essay to this. That's available on the web. And it just sounded really interesting, although I suspect Art Spiegelman could make pretty much anything sound interesting.
Pulitzer Prize winner Art Spiegelman, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you are correct. And so I got this thing, and he observes that it's kind of hard to describe this because, of course, you know, it's visual. But he observes that this is something that, you know, it's not exactly a book you could sit down and read cover to cover. And, of course, given my voracious sexual appetite, I dismissed that opinion immediately. But it turns out he's right. And a lot of these are kind of amusing because they take very well-known characters such as Dagwood from the Blondie comics. And, you know, you see Dagwood at the office receiving oral sex, talking about who he's going to get in the secretary pool tomorrow. And, boy, casual day was a great idea. And it's really kind of fascinating to me seeing. And then you have well-known figures, Mae West, Betty Boop, who I guess really is fictional. Lou Gehrig goes west for a vacation, and you get to see Lou Gehrig, you know, using dialogue about hitting a home run. Just a second, I'll have this bat of mine up again, and we'll play another inning. And it's all pretty darn sordid, but, you know, it's kind of fun, and it's kind of amazing to me because even in its most sordid moments, it's really innocent. You know, I mean, the things that we do now don't appear in here at all. And it's also apparent to me that at least some of the people producing these had no idea what sex was about at all. Some of the anatomy is just plain weird, particularly female anatomy. You have vaginas kind of located where the pubic hair would be on a normal woman, and just things don't fit together quite right.
So, I mean, you don't suppose they're just poor artists. I mean, there are otherwise...
That's a possibility, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know if I were forced to, by some inquisitor to, like, precisely locate a woman's vagina. I'm not sure I could either. I don't really know if I could.
There's a humor element in all of these, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
None of them are just straight-up titillation without some...
A lot of them are very abusive. A lot of them are abusive to women. A lot of them are racist. Nearly all of them are probably sexist by the very nature of them. But yeah, there's very much like a setup. You know, you've got 8 panels to tell a story. There isn't much of a story. Okay, so at least 4 of those panels, at minimum, have to be just straight sex or something along those lines. You know, so somehow you have to show normal people, get their clothes off, and then the last panel will always be almost always be some kind of punchline or zinger. And it's all pretty pathetic. I mean, you know, I don't think people were reading these for their literary value at the time or probably even today.
What you said about their use of famous character, well-known characters, reminds me of some of the discussions we've had about slash porn on this very show.
I don't know if you're familiar with that term, slash porn.
No, educate me, please.
This is essentially the amateur porn stories about famous characters. So, for example, that when our slash author was on the show, she talked about I believe, that Kirk, Spock, and McCoy getting it on.
Right, so the slash is sort of misleading because it makes you think it's some kind of horror thing, but it's really... Mulder slash Krycek, that's sort of a popular one right now, you know, from the X-Files, or Kirk slash Spock, that's the sort of perennial favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sort of the same things where you could imagine, sort of the same things you see people doing today with Photoshop. I saw this one picture of something in that line of Kirk's head, William Shatner's head, on top of this impossibly tanned and muscular stud body, obviously culled from some magazine somewhere. And apart from being the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen and slightly sickening, because it was William Shatner.
Well, there have been the pictures of Gore and Clinton in drag locked in an embrace.
Just to be 100% clear, I mean, the slash of pornography is usually lengthy stories people write. It's not just kind of image editing, putting Kirk's head on someone else's body. And also, let's just be fair here, Shatner was a major babe when he was young. I mean, let's not... I mean, I know he's kind of a buffoon right now. And
I was always concentrating on the blue, green, or purple woman in his arms as the token straight guy in the room, I guess.
There's more than the heterosexuals at the moment outnumber the homosexuals in this room, I think. But unless some of you turn during the course of the hour, which is always a possibility.
Actually, we have the... If that's the case, do we have the blue and the red couch? Is that...
That's right. The homosexuals are
another kind of visual joke, but we're actually opposed to each other.
Gravitated to the blue couch.
That polarized.
We're a microcosm of American society right here in this room.
So are you feeling marginalized?
I'm feeling a little oppressed, yes. I'm not quite feeling marginalized yet, but just to try to eliminate some of my rights, and then we'll see how I feel.
So anyway, I mean, to finish up about 50s porn, unless someone wants to talk about it in any great detail, what amazes me is these things, I think, as a connoisseur of pornography, I will just say these things don't work for me in any way, shape, or form. But they are very entertaining in the sense of, wow, haha, look, you know, weren't people in the 30s really stupid? And I think that being able to laugh at people and marginalize them is, you know, pretty much always a good thing.
So as a connoisseur,
if you could, I'm sorry, Corey. I'm being flippant.
I'm very no. It was what I asked you to do. I'm very emotionally vulnerable, and if you make me cry, you win.
So as a connoisseur of porn, what do you like?
Me personally,
sure.
Well, I don't necessarily want to take us too far afield. lots of leather. No, I don't know. I can tell. I would have to define it in terms of more what I don't like. I will say that some of the film stock porn produced in the mid to late 70s was actually about on my level. There's one movie in particular that comes to mind. It was called, I gotta think of it, I think it was The Other Side of Julie, that had the balance perfectly right. So I was talking to a
literally movie. Like The Other Side, sort of, this is an anal sex reference?
I believe there actually was some of that in the movie, definitely.
Okay.
Unfortunately, no gay sex in it, which we can talk about that in a bit, why there isn't more bisexual porn.
Well, but, who would want it?
Well,
I don't know.
I knew maybe only college students who were trying to look hip, right? but the one thing about porn, I remember talking to a video store owner who I was complaining to him that all his porn was just too, like, rancid and just like wham bam, thank you, man stuff. He says, well, I'll tell you, when I opened the store, I got like the best, highest quality, you know, porn with plots and things like that. And eventually, I wasn't making any money at all. One of my customers came up to me and said, look, you know, this was an excellent movie, but I think they were missing the point. And so The Other Side of Julie kind of stands out in my mind as having the exact perfect balance. If there's no plot at all, you know, why do you care? Turn it on for 10 minutes and then turn it off, right?
Yes.
But if there's too much plot, then you wouldn't have picked that particular movie to watch in the first place. And so that movie stands out in my mind as one where just as you're about to get bored, it moves on to another phase, and just when you've kind of lost interest in the sex, the plot comes back. So I don't know if that is helpful to anyone out there.
The other side of, so were there any famous sort of porn stars?
I'm sure there were, and I'm sure I can't remember their names. I'll bring it in next week or something.
I mean, I have always, maybe I don't really want this, but I've always thought that wouldn't it be nice if some of these high-powered Hollywood directors, you know, if like the Merchant Ivory team could make some pornography, like if the remains of the day.
And 2 hours later, when she got all her crinolines off, they had sex.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, at the end of the remains of the day, you know, finally, when the, you know, 30 years later, that she finally gives him a blowjob or whatever, that would just be, it would just give me a sense of closure, which I didn't have from seeing that movie.
No, I absolutely agree, but I also don't think it's anything that's likely to happen anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But. Wasn't there a very controversial movie recently released? And I can't remember, but the controversy was specifically that there was very explicit sex in one scene. I don't even know why I'm bothering to bring it up if I can't remember the name, so.
Yeah, I don't,
maybe I was fantasizing that such a movie exists.
It's not ringing a bell.
It rings a bell for me.
Caligula would be the one example of a movie I could think. Which, arguably, I mean, you watch it, it is not a porno movie. You don't say, gee, I really want to get turned on tonight, think I'll watch Caligula.
Right.
And although I will say that this does fall in my list of movies which actually do have both straight and gay sex in them. But, I mean, this is a movie which actually was a serious Hollywood production.
Oh, it was not.
Yeah.
It was some kind of vanity production by...
Bob Guccione.
Was it Bob Guccione?
Look, any movie with John Gielgud in it has... I mean, you look at the list of people in Caligula. Maybe they all just wanted to get laid. But Peter O'Toole, John Gielgud, Malcolm McDowell. Somehow they all got... Maybe it was just incredible amounts of money. But they were all in it.
And you've seen this thing.
Oh, yes.
Is it worth seeing?
I think it's worth seeing. I mean, it's upsetting. Certainly, it's not a light movie.
Worth seeing for what goal?
I thought it was a good movie, and if you know a little bit about Caligula, it's actually, I mean, it's fairly factual, which is kind of the creepy part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it gets a little Fantasia-istic in the scenes in Tiberius's pleasure palace. Okay, yes, it's not a word. Okay,
I mean, well, I'm just wondering what you might mean.
I'm hoping that this does not mean a connection to the Disney movie.
I'm hoping that it does, but unfortunately it does.
Dancing mops or whatever.
Gets a little Hollywood-esque, kind of Busby Berkeley-esque. And now you're really interested in the scenes that take place on Tiberius's sex retreat on Capri.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever heard about the movie is like some kind of nasty little fisting scene between Caligula and some other person. Does that happen?
I don't remember because the copy I had was cut off about 20 minutes before the end, so I still haven't seen the end of it. I will say that wouldn't surprise me because the movie overall is a nasty movie, like emotionally. It is not what I would say, gee, honey, let's sit home and watch Caligula at home for a nice romantic evening. But I think it's worth seeing, yeah. Have I made you cry yet?
I'm getting a little misty.
He's wiping his eyes.
I'm holding it together. I have to recall my Vulcan training, keep my emotions under control. I actually had a thought, which was, when you're talking about these 50s comic strips and portraying this kind of comic book heroes and sexual situations, like which modern comic I might want to see the same way, like Kathy. Do I want to see like Kathy having sex with Garfield or whatever?
Oh my god!
That for better or for worse.
I would be willing to bet money that someone has already done it, and that if you just knew where to look,
I would not bet against you.
Do you think it's on the web? I mean, I guess.
My god, I hope so.
I mean, some of those you'd like to see not just in sexual situations, but in sort of violent, that Kathy meets her violent death. Right?
See Ziggy getting struck by that lightning bolt just once.
That's exactly. So that the sort of cattle prod, whatever. But so. I mean, I'm not really sure I can, talking about this Tijuana Bibles book, I'm not really sure I can relate to sort of...
Well, I think the key thing that's missing here is you're talking at a time when probably most people weren't necessarily literate, and or as literate as well, okay, I guess saying that we're literate today is probably a real stretch.
I mean, I know we're all, like, idiot Americans, but I mean, this is just the...
30s to 30s? 50s?
I mean, there was mandatory education in this country, wasn't there? I don't know.
Okay, I admit it. I made that up.
I mean, had my need to get some old people here to like quiz them on this.
To your question, DJ Pornography 2000, I believe that I have seen the erotic cartoons or pornographic cartoons involving the characters from the Family Circus.
Oh my lord.
Really? That intrigues me. Like, the children, little Binky and so on, are they involved too? I mean, is this like child pornography?
I then cannot recall for sure.
Interesting. Or is it just mom and dad? I mean, I think it's now true in this country that even depictions of child pornography are now illegal, right? I mean, the Supreme Court has clarified this.
Maybe it's more like, who stole daddy's condoms? Not me! Little ghost, right? Our British guest is completely lost on that.
So am I. What are you talking about?
It would take too long to explain, and it wouldn't be nearly amusing enough. So.
Okay. Well, the only thing I've seen that's even close to that is this dysfunctional family circus website. Have you seen this thing where they take one of, I forget the same, Tom Keene or whatever this guy's name is, Bill Keene.
Bill Keene.
And they take his panels and they remove the caption, and he invites internet users to write their own captions for every week, and then, you know, sort of picks the funniest one. Mm-hmm. The internet, what glorious resource it is. So, wow.
What is that gesture you're making?
This is. I was having a momentary kind of emotional breakdown, and I wanted you to like carry the topic for 5 or 10 minutes.
And not actually talk about the gesture he's making.
While I wept quietly here in the corner. Right now that you've drawn even more attention.
If I actually quizzed you a little bit, this would help. Can I ask what sort? I mean, are you a connoisseur of pornography? And you know, what have you seen that's?
Well, I'm a little upset by this. By this word connoisseur, I mean, like, you know, we're talking.
Okay, user, are you happy now?
We're talking about like things that you like watch and then jack off to, basically, right? I mean, this
or is, things that you use with a partner is fair, I think.
So I have a pretty extensive library of. It's mostly gay pornography, I think, at home. Although my lover, if I may use that term, my so-called partner, seems to like. He seems really
hold on. You're gay? What?
Seems to be. Well, you know.
That's why he's on the blue couch.
I'm going through this phase. So he likes straight pornography, which has bothered him, but it's really strange. So he really like, whenever I'm not like available to service him, he'll like get out the straight porn and watch that and masturbate, which I find kind of. Unusual, but whatever.
Well, the men in straight porn tend to be much uglier, I will say. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, as far. Although, well, I mean, there's all kinds of gay pornography you can get. I mean, some people like sort of big, ugly, you know, leather daddies or whatever. But, right. I mean, it does seem like the totally high quality buff Hollywood babes are all in gay porn. In fact, I think some actors even go gay for pay because the money's better on the gay side or whatever.
Our own DJ Pablo has done that, has he not?
that's right. DJ, well, he doesn't like talking about that, but before he got this lucrative Loveline gig, he was doing gay pornography in order to support himself and his family. What was the question? Am I a connoisseur?
Well, I was basically asking, what do you have that's, you know, particularly springs to mind as a good?
Well, I don't. The thing that I actually appeals to me in the pornography I have is like really sort of attractive men of the kind that I like, in sort of sexual situations. I'm not necessarily like. You know, the sex kind of gets repetitive after a while, and especially in a lot of gay pornography, there's this extremely obvious formula, which is sort of like, you know, kiss, fondle, suck, you know, penetration, and then like
sploosh is the word.
Yeah. And then, right, and then you know, like a little hug at the end or whatever.
And then a repeat,
and then so you know, it after a while you sort of know what to expect, but. You know, if there's some like appealing new face that I haven't seen before, or somebody that I like, or someone who sort of looks appealing to me for one reason or another, it's really, it's very enjoyable to see like them in their new little roles. Like I'll obsess about like some, like there's this guy Chad Connors, for example, who's actually I believe gay for pay, which sort of means that, you know, I'm a total hypocrite because he's actually straight in real life and would, you know. He rejects my whole orientation, but I had this like I was going through this Chad Connors phase, and I rented every movie he was in.
Oh, can I quiz you about that statement? I mean, he's obviously able to perform, right? So, what does that mean that you just said okay, he's gay for pay, but he's straight in real life? I mean, that offends you somehow?
I don't know. I mean, it offends me partially because like the person I rented from was offended. And he was like, you know, this guy's straight in real life, don't you? And I'm like. Well, I didn't know, but apparently I'm supposed to be offended. But I mean, this is part of the whole standard thing. Like, part of what I was just explaining is that I'm seeing these guys in these roles and sort of imagining being with them or imagining what they'd be like. And you know, if being with them in real life would be like, you know, going around in a pickup, shooting gay people and drinking JD or whatever. You know,
hard to believe that he's rejecting gays.
I will say DJ 2000, DJ 50s Pornography 2000, that I'm totally down with if the guy like is gay for pay and then goes home and drives around a pickup and shoots gay people, you shouldn't be renting that film. I'll give you that.
But I can't even. You know, my whole fantasy of being with him is flawed because. He would only want to have sex with me if I paid him.
Hmm.
Which I get, well, you know.
That's the flaw in your fantasy.
but it really is the actor, not some character that he's portraying or anything. There's no.
Well, I mean,
ooh, good question.
We'll see. That is a good question, and I think.
And I guess if you're going getting all these films that have this actor in common, that really is focusing on the actor.
Right, well, the problem with, I mean, that's a good point. I think the problem with the characters is that they really. Aren't characters per se. I mean, they're such bad actors that, you know, it's not like they have, you know, we're not talking about like, you know.
Well, that minimalist school allows you to create the character for yourself.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, you know, as you were probably implicitly pointing out, I mean, it's not like these guys would ever go for me anyway, because they have, after all, their pick of all the most fabulously attractive people in Hollywood or whatever. But, you know, it's the same thing. Like if you're the same kind of person that would object to Anne Hetch or whatever her name is, you know, Ellen's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
There was this whole like discussion in the media.
Oh, right? When she was in that movie where she was the romantic.
Yeah, Six Days, Seven Nights, or whatever. Like, will we believe that she could actually be attracted to Harrison Ford? I mean, like, as if anybody could actually be attracted to Harrison Ford, but right, exactly. So like, it's the same thing. Like,
see, I never quite thought of it that way myself. I think I can't ever get past the yet like any of these people would ever give me the time of day problem myself.
right.
That's really the flaw in my fantasy.
Yeah, well, I mean that's true. So right, yes, I know. I totally agree. It's although you think it's slightly more possible. I mean, you know, gay porn isn't as big time as mainstream Hollywood.
Are there surgical enhancements in gay porn? Because that's one of the problems I have with straight porn is, to me, I find the surgically enhanced breasts generally to be actually actively revolting. They look non-human to me, and it just is not attractive.
As an amusing tip, if you watch porn movies and fast forward, silicone breasts jiggle much differently than the natural breasts, and you can really tell it in fast forward.
Really? So this is how you would, in case this ever went in front of a court of law, you could use this as some sort of proof of tampering.
So the question stands, though. I mean, is there a lot of surgical enhancement in gay porn yet? Or?
Well, I don't know of any. I mean,
as with 18-inch wieners?
Right. So all the penises I've seen appear to be real and sort of functional. I mean, you can get these, like, if you've seen these things, there's some kind of porn that you get with these impossible penises and these impossible breasts. There's, like, you know, a penis, like, from, you know, 3 feet long, right? Or just like this absurd stuff.
And the person would die of low blood pressure.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But so I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, they certainly tend to select, you know, people with above average endowments, obviously. Although Chad Connors, the previously mentioned, is actually an exception. He has a surprisingly average and possibly even small penis. Mm. And I think the reason he succeeds in this business is because he's got a fabulous body and he's a big time bottom. And so he basically just, you know.
Now I've heard stories that there is some tendon that can be cut, which lengthens the penis slightly, but makes it
droopier.
More liable to flop around.
Right. If you're watching the video and fast forward, you could see whether that tendon is cut or not.
Right. Well, that's the one that retracts the penis, right? In the you know, cold water mode or whatever it is.
Oh, is that right?
I think that's what I've heard.
You know,
I can't remember
come the robot that. Holocaust, people who have had that operation are going to be at a huge evolutionary disadvantage.
I'm sorry, the what?
I want you to explain that comment.
The
please.
Robot Holocaust?
Oh, it was just it was another attempt at humor that apparently failed miserably. Along the lines of everything must have some sort of evolutionary purpose, and in times of great stress, you're penis and retract into your body, right? So if that's cut, you know, and that dinosaur comes stomping after you.
In fact, you know, in times of wartime, maybe it has the opposite effect and can be used as like a piercing weapon, right?
For
like,
oh, dear.
I doubt it because of the flopping around problem.
So we had a show. Actually, even if people check our Loveline archive, which is at loveline.wrct.com, we actually had a whole show or two devoted to sexual or penile lengthening techniques, and one of them was indeed the cut the tendon approach. And you know, while I actually, as longtime listeners know, have a below average penis, and I'm very disappointed about that, and blame my family for my genetic makeup. I mean, I still don't think I'm quite ready to go for the surgical route. I mean, I just.
So how much does that sadden you right now?
What? I'm sorry, I missed.
He was wondering whether that was enough to make me burst into tears. And
yes, exactly.
It's such an old wound that doesn't bother me so much. But
well, this cutting the tendon, it just would tend to keep it at, you know, in its more maximum length range, right? It's not necessarily going to increase its peak.
See, that's what I don't understand, because people, I thought people got a few extra inches or an inch or two of real erectile length by one of these surgical techniques. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
That is my impression, but I have no actual data to get in the way.
Probably more range of motion.
This is coming back to me. Some Pittsburgh radio personality, this is true, right? Do you know this? Got this done and was talking about it on the air. Myron Cope, maybe? I'm not really sure.
Myron Cope has been in a series of disturbingly homoerotic billboard ads recently.
Exactly. In the old days, it was the Myron Cope 4-inch kielbasa before
surgery. He's recently done a milk commercial where they have him and the Mighty Mouth, and he's got this little milk bottle with the new, like, the pourable spout, right? It's like, so it's round, and he's kind of holding it up to his mouth, and he's got this big, huge, perfect O face, and he's, you know, pouring the milk in, and it really disturbed me personally, but yeah, because I was thinking of that kielbasa ad, of course, together with.
Speaking of homoerotica overtones, I must recommend the movie Shakespeare in Love.
Really?
Yes. There is lots of play with gender bending and the homoerotic overtones. So lots of the shots of the scenes of Josephine's and Gwyneth Paltrow kissing with Gwyneth Paltrow wearing a mustache and goatee. I liked it.
I think
we're confused.
I am going to cry now, definitely. Fine. The proper pronunciation of the name is Fine, I think. Mm-hmm. As in Rafe Fine. Didn't Ralph Fiennes pronounce his name Rafe Fine?
I believe that may well be correct. I am not intimately acquainted with the glamour of Hollywood.
So I've actually been meaning to sort of collect a list of all of the movies that have kind of incidental homosexuality and watch them all.
Start and end the list with Batman and Robin and just give up.
Well, but, you know, they didn't... Well, I mean, it has to be more than subtext, right? I mean, I think the... like, you know, The Wedding Singer, I guess, that was sort of semi-terrible movie, but it had, what's his name, Rupert Everett, or who am I thinking of? Is that the right movie?
Adam Sandler?
My Best Friend's Wedding. My Best Friend's Wedding is what I'm thinking of. Right, yeah. And I heard that he had a pretty funny kind of homosexual scene in there, and so I've been meaning to, like, catch all these things, but, you know, you would never see me, you could never catch me dead at a...
Right. Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, Boogie Nights was fabulous.
I thought it was a great movie, actually. Very, again, kind of disturbing in a number of ways, but I was impressed by the way they dealt with the lonely assistant or hanger-on or whatever he was.
Oh, was that impressive to you? That was sad to me.
It was heartbreaking, but I thought it was... I mean, I've seen that situation come about, and I thought that the actor did a fabulous job.
Really?
Can you tell us more detail about that? I haven't seen the movie. I have no idea what you're referring to.
he's a, I guess, I don't know exactly what the character does. He assists in the production of these movies.
He's a grip.
Key grip or something. And he has an enormous crush on the juvenile, the male lead, played by Marky Mark, right? Who is, of course, the big...
Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler, the big porn star. He has enormous crush on him. And it's very obvious to us, the audience, but, you know, Dirk doesn't seem to pick up on it. And I guess New Year's Eve Party 1980 about feels like three-quarters of the way through the film, an enormously long film. He finally, you know, tells him more or less and kind of comes on to him. And it's a very kind of clumsy come on, and it's very sad.
He's drunk, of course.
He's drunk, and he's rebuffed, and pretty harshly, not, you know, violently.
Marky's disgusted, pretty much.
Yes, pretty much. Mm. And so, I mean, it was obvious that this guy was not just horny, but actually infatuated with the guy. I mean, it was a crush. Mm-hmm. And he just sits in the car, you know, he bought the same type of very expensive sports car that Marky had been driving, and he sits in the car after he's been rebuffed, just, I can't use the words, unfortunately, calling himself an effing idiot over and over, and it's painful. And they draw it out, and they let him do it for, I mean, it seems like 10 minutes just doing that. And yes, you're right, it was painful, it was terribly sad, but I thought it was, you know, beautiful in the sense of filmmaking.
Vivid.
I have been there so many times. Right. No, so I agree with everything you've said. I think that it's fabulously true. Although, you know, it was just unfortunate. The only portrayal of a homosexual in that movie was sort of the pathetic, lonely one, yeah, rather than some sort of fabulous, you know, successful one. But indeed, you know, who hasn't been there?
I want to say there was one scene in a movie which was two guys having sex, but I must be imagining that. I must have made it up. Never mind. I'll drop it.
Well,
I have to move over to the blue couch now, by the way. I could have sworn I remembered something, another portrayal, but I might be transposing something I saw somewhere else.
What do you mean? I mean, there certainly have been movies.
No, in that movie. I'm saying in that film.
Oh, interesting.
But I thought it was a great film, and I thought it gave access. It walked a fine line, and it gave access to people, you know, who wouldn't normally see that industry. I also thought it whitewashed certain parts of the industry. But
really?
Yeah, I thought, you know, there's... I mean, the industry is basically, you know, run more or less by the mob, and that was kind of glossed over, I thought. Implied, but not really.
Yeah, I guess Burt Reynolds was sort of excessively heroic and like a father figure, which, anyway, whatever. When you and I started porn together back in the 70s,
right,
things were very different.
It was a beautiful time with beautiful people. I was, I believe, what, 7 then, Maura?
So none of your works are available.
No, they've all been taken off the market, unfortunately. I was wondering if any of you had any experience with scenes in other countries. I was told that one of our DJs has actually been to China in particular, which kind of interested me. Could I get you to say a few words about that? No? Okay. Well, he just lied about it. He made it all up. This is not what I expected.
Unfortunately, my times abroad have had almost no sexual element.
I'm pretty much worried about getting robbed, and that just really drains one of, you know...
Enthusiasm. Two out of my three international trips have been in the company of my parents, and
you know,
that inhibits one also.
There is nothing worse than that happening. I'll tell this story. This is a horrible story. Worst moment of my life. Well, okay, it wasn't the worst moment of my life. But
tell us, please.
It was pretty hard at the time. I made the mistake of going to France with my parents. I must have been about 16 or 17 years old. And we landed at Orly International Airport, and of course, because the people running the airport are French, the idea of actually organizing how they find their luggage is completely alien to them. So my parents go to find their luggage, say, okay, well, go sit outside or something, you know, and we'll be back in a while. And they were gone for maybe 2 hours. And I started up a conversation with this woman who, looking back, must have been about 25 or 26. And, you know, she offered me a cigarette, gave me a beer, and after we talked about a half hour, invited me back to her place. And I had to say the worst words, the worst possible sentence in the human language. Well, I'm sorry, but I have to wait here for my parents. There's just really nothing worse in context of you know, speaking to someone you're interested in, to just kind of take the bloom off that rose. So to all of you who have had that happen, I feel your pain. And
you know, I was actually conferring with our producer, and so I heard just the tail part of that story, but that's the most incredibly painful thing I've ever heard. I mean, I myself missed a fabulous sexual encounter in a French airport. And
I think, with a French person? Or?
Yes, it was actually the customs inspector guy or whatever. He was like,
Corey always wears steel-toed boots when he goes.
Well, actually, the reason I was conferring with our producer is because she had a little factual correction to make about the Boogie Nights. I don't know if you're online there, Producer Kate.
Yeah, actually, there was some homosexual porn, but it wasn't gay porn. It was lesbians, if you remember. Although they were faking.
That's a very good correction.
I don't know if they were faking it or if that would ruin it for lesbians, or if they were just doing it to appease straight men. But it was there. So.
Well, I mean, women are naturally multisexual, right? I mean, that's their nature.
Yeah, I think that's probably fairly correct in a general sense.
Fascinating. But. Wow. So that's interesting. So. Do you watch lesbian? Do you get turned on by lesbian pornography?
I've never actually watched any, but I have to say, like, I totally think Anne Hesh is completely attractive, and I have no idea why men would not be attracted to her.
Because she's so severe looking, isn't she? Sort of pointy.
She's very. I don't know. She has that young boy look to her in a way, but she's very pretty. And she's always been very attractive. I think it's ridiculous that people wouldn't be attracted to her because they found out she was
a
lesbian.
I
will say that I have not found her attractive.
No.
But that has nothing to do with her sexuality. As a objectifying guy, I could care less about what the women I'm looking at on screen doing when they're, you know, not on screen. And I could think, I'm sure if I thought about it, I can come up with a number of lesbians that, you know, yeah, I think are attractive.
Mimi Rogers?
So the other issue about the question of lesbian pornography that you raised is that so much mainstream porn involves women having sex of one form or another with other women.
Right. So. Well, that's partly what I meant, because a lot of straight men seem to have this fantasy about seeing women make out, and that may defeat the purpose of saying that they had included this scene, you know.
I think mainstream America does not acknowledge that. I mean, it certainly happens in straight porn. And the reasons why it happens, I think, could be discussed. But I don't think, you know, necessarily, for example, your mom, or my mom, certainly, is okay, we'll just say my mom, since I don't know your mom, you know, is ready for that. I think she, you know, she would be shocked. And so I think it's good that it made it into Boogie Nights for that reason.
Sure. Granted.
So there I was.
The tears streaming down his face.
This actually does make me cry, because it was so tragic. I was in Paris, of course, and, you know, I was in line. I was in line at the little checkout thing, whatever it's called. They have to, like, quiz you when you're leaving the country and make sure you haven't stolen any of their secrets or whatever. So, you know, I got in the line of the really hot little inspector boy. But, you know, and I carefully picked the right line, and then I make it half the way to the front, and then he switches. I guess that's their clever little way of avoiding, I don't know, terrorist or something. And so he got a different role, and I got checked out by some horrible. You know, after French men turn 22 or so, they become ugly trolls. They smoke all the time, and
the
so
the smell kind of intensifies like a fine wine ages a little bit.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, there is that period where they're that delicious, you know, youthful bloom, and then after that, they're just like totally, you know, bitter, angry little Frenchmen. And so I got some little freakish little customs guy, and then I thought it was so tragic, and then I was just sad, and then I went to the gate, kind of waiting for my flight, and he spots me again. Now apparently his role is like to question people in line about with their activities. And so he comes right up to me and he starts asking me all these questions, like where I was, who packed my bags, and so on. And I don't know, I thought there was some kind of vibe between them, but I made the mistake of telling the truth, which was, he asked me, so, you know, where my bags had been, who I'd been staying with, and I said, oh, a friend of mine and her father. And I think because I mentioned the female gender, he probably thought I was heterosexual or something. And so he's like, okay, fine. And then he left and then he cupped my butt as he left, I swear. He grabbed my butt and then said, have a good day. And I don't know if that's some kind of French custom. Maybe like all Europeans do that. I don't know. But, you know, there definitely was a butt squeeze.
Actually, they squeeze different cheeks and different numbers of cheeks depending on the country.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
So this was
the Italians will cup left, right, left.
I'm not binary encoding. This is the left rear cheek. Well, I guess, you know, like left cheek.
Okay, DJ 50s Porn 2000, I just want to say, if you have a front cheek, I'm leaving now.
every failed sexual encounter I have still is vividly memorable to me. I mean, it's just like, I mourn.
Do you remember them more than the successful ones?
Well, certainly. The successful ones are all eminently forgettable.
Okay, now you're going to make me cry. That's really sad.
I confess, I remember the sexual encounters that I declined, but I don't remember any encounters that at least got far enough that I was thinking about sex. Where I was turned down.
Got far enough. Okay.
Going to say, what planet are you on?
Right, I mean, so my initial thought is usually
breakfast, sex.
is usually sex, right? I mean, so what are we talking about? I mean, like, you're being out somewhere and meeting some fabulous person. I mean, is not your immediate thought to like how to mate with them?
No. Can't say it is.
Interesting.
I've actually got a failed sexual encounter, a failed European sexual encounter, in which I really wished my parents were there. And, I mean, it's actually rather creepy, but it was during a trip to Europe with my family when I was like, perhaps 12 or something like that.
Ooh.
And my...
I'm not liking this. This is involved.
Yeah, it's
a
creepy.
Bad touch story, isn't it?
I was going to say, does the Neverland Ranch play a role in front of this?
No, it was actually my parents had some other tourist activity they wanted to do. We were in Copenhagen, and they left my sister and me at the zoo, which is like this fenced-in place, and we were wandering around, and at some point. You know, it seemed reasonable. We were in this contained area. There's lots of people. It just seemed very nice. And we're walking along, and all of a sudden, I sort of spot some money, some paper money on the ground. And there's this guy walking next to us, I realize at the same time, and he sort of reaches for it, and he makes eye contact. He says, oh, look! And we were sort of smiling, oh, yes, that, you know. And then he proceeded to make this proposal. His proposal was, it was if I would put my head between his legs, then he would be released and he would give me the money.
I really,
to tell you the truth, I really didn't understand the nature of that at that point. And it only became clear later on. It becomes more and more clear, actually, as it goes on.
Yes.
But I was more actually concerned that he might. I was more concerned about protecting my little sister or something. I knew there was something not particularly comfortable about that. And and he was perfectly, you know. I was like, actually, no, thank you. I'm not really interested in that. And he was like, oh, okay, cheerio. You know, and he took
really
off. There's no
that's interesting.
Coercion aspect at all.
The kind of Teletubby voice, though, was there.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. It was. It's true.
That's interesting.
It's true. So and my parents were, of course, completely horrified.
Talking about Teletubby / porn.
You know, I would have been perfectly happy to end this show today without that image popping into my head. Now it's there, and it'll never go away. Teletubby porn.
Do you think this man ever got released? His release?
At some point or another, I would imagine. I don't know if it was in a scenario that in his optimal scenario or not. But
that's a really disturbing story, I have to say.
It is a disturbing story. And actually, I don't know if I've ever seen my parents so disturbed when I related this story to them.
Yeah, it's not.
But I mean, it didn't. There was zero. I mean, it was actually this very kind of. It was just a question, and that was it. It was a purely voluntary situation. There wasn't even the sense of, mm-hmm. oh, really, perhaps you should think it over. You might like it, or something like that. It was zero. None of that at all.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But in that case, I probably would have preferred my parents were there.
I managed to elude all of the attempts to molest me as a child. I don't know how. Do you know about them?
Are you aware of their name?
I mean, looking back, there were several really sort of oogie scenarios that came up at one time or another, and I somehow just, like, didn't go that way. Like, you know, one time I was in the local city's paper because I'd won some sort of stupid junior high school award of some kind, like the science fair or whatever. I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter. And I got this call at home from this guy, and he was just like, oh, I saw your picture in the paper, and I wanted to congratulate you on your achievement, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, 10 minutes into it, he's like, you know, whatever, do you want to come over? Or do you want to,
oh,
do you ever think about guys? And I'm like, I mean, so, you know, he wasn't as artful as
say, Timmy, do you ever watch Gladiator movies?
Yes, exactly. Some friend of my mother's, or no, some client of my mother's. My mother was a hairdresser, and she had told him that I was interested in, like, lifting weights, and he called and was going to, like, kind of, like, help me, go to the gym with me and help me with my workout program. And, you know where that's going to lead, right?
Oiling up your body.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no upside to that at all, as far as I can see. So. And he got really offended. It's so weird. These people call you. I'm like, you know, I wasn't quite. I was like, why, you know, why do I want your help? I don't know, I didn't quite get it. And he was like all huffy and then hung up on me and stuff. And so anyway, somehow magically, my little homosexual guardian angel has protected me from being ravaged.
A good fairy.
Exactly. Wow. So, gee. I believe we're almost out of time. I want this is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's midnight. I want to thank you all for listening and tuning in. Keep those calls coming, and tune in again next week.
Do we have a topic for next week yet?
I believe that we're going to have. I believe we can get it set up. We're going to have the entire cast of the original Star Trek.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Yeah, Shatner and Nimoy and Takei.
Actually, act out some of these Kirk / Spock.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I don't know if they're actually going to be able to make it, but tentatively, we think we're going to try to get them. And it's going to be the first time that they've all been in the same room together because there's some friction between the various actors. But
we've got lots of lube.
We've resolved all that. So anyway, we've got to go. We've got the next show has to start. So thank you and good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.